You may be seated. We welcome you to this Sunday of Pentecost as we gather on what is probably it's not the most essential Easter, we take that title, but it's the most necessary day of the Christian year, necessary for us, because all of the things that we celebrate throughout the rest of the church year in our faith, the incarnation of Christ at Christmas, the work of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, all of those things are valid and true on their own. But as we confess in the smaller catechism, if it wasn't for the gift of the Holy Spirit, we'd be like a blind man in a dark room trying to find a black cat at midnight. It'd be there, but the scales would still be on our eyes and we couldn't see. So this is the most necessary day that we celebrate, the gift of the Holy Spirit, because we can see because of His work for us. So we'll be celebrating Pentecost through the day. A lot of inserts, you'll see, I put an insert in there talking about Pentecost, and the collect on that insert will be what I'll be saying for the pastoral prayer if you want to follow along. And then if you'll look at the announcements, I'm really excited, and I just hope that it will in time become a meaningful part of our church's life. And that is the service we're having tonight for prayer and healing. It'll be a contemplative service, meaning that it's a time of reflection. Reverend Andy will have a short homily, and we'll have an opportunity for prayer. And Andy, would you like to say anything more about that?
Just, you know, what you said, please come, you know, if you have any suffering and you want to be prayed for, or even if you don't, to pray for other people. It'll be a short service, not more than an hour. There will be communion. There'll be time for just, you know, to come and to be prayed for, to be anointed with oil, if you like, and just to come together as a body of Christ, because there's a lot of suffering. And we're called as a church, especially in this day of Pentecost, when the Spirit comes and gives us peace and hope and love. Let's do that in a very tangible way tonight. Hopefully all can make it tonight.
Great. We're looking forward to it. And if you're not able to be there, keep it in prayer. But it's one of those things like having the people that pray at the front of the service, even if they're not used every Sunday, it's like having a fire extinguisher in your home. I want it to be known that we have it, and if you need it, it's there. So I want to have this service on a regular basis so that we know it's there when we need it. Also, I've been asked, and it is open for anyone that would like to attend, the Celebration of Life service for Bob Carson. Most of us knew him before he was, would come with my mom to church and other things. That will be on June the 1st, a Saturday at 2 p.m., and it'll be, if weather permits, it'll be outside at Abbott Lake at Peaks of Ida Lodge. If not, it'll be inside. That'll be a brief and casual service, so nothing formal, but you're invited if you'd like to attend that. Any other announcements before we go to prayer requests? Okay, if we go to prayer requests, we've got in there, let's keep the band Clapdirks in prayer. Patrick, who is Werner's son, his wife Margie died. Her time of celebration and receiving of friends was yesterday afternoon. One that's not in here, they're not members of our church, they live in Concord. I'd like us to keep the family of Kenneth and Karen Lewis in your prayers. A very unfortunate situation where Kenneth was under hospice, had been sick for a while, he was 78. He died at 3:30 one morning, and his wife died about 30 minutes later. She was 69. And we had a service Thursday, I think it was, where both caskets were there. But pray for their son, Kenny. He lost both of his parents in a very short and tragic period. So keep Kenny and Justine, his partner, in our prayers. I just found out, Craig's mother's brother-in-law, Marie and Clark Rogers. We want to keep Clark. He passed away, and that service will be Wednesday. Out of respect for the family, and because I knew Clark and Marie, I will be attending that. Therefore, the announcement about Bible study for Wednesday, we will not have that Wednesday morning, because I'll be, the funeral's at 11 o'clock at Calvary Baptist Church on Timberlake Road. Any other items for prayer? Let's pray for Robert. He's going up tomorrow to have a meeting with Heather, so pray for his safety and that goes well. Let's go to prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for all the many blessings you've given us. And we thank you, and we don't make light of the fact that we know, apart from the gift of your Spirit, we would still be in the dark. It's only through your work. Because of the effects of the fall, we not only need you to accomplish our salvation, we even needed you to let us know what you've done. We needed you to make us aware and appreciative. For apart from the Holy Spirit, we would be like the proverbial swine that Christ spoke of that didn't recognize the value of the pearls in their midst. And the only reason we recognize how precious you are and how true your word is because your Holy Spirit took those scales off our eyes. You illuminate us, you comfort us, you draw close to us in need. And as we'll see through your word today, you are the one that does it all. So you are the one who receives all the praise. I pray that your Spirit will draw close to those that we mentioned that have been hurting. I pray that you'll be with Patrick and the loss of his wife. We pray that you'd be with Marie and the loss of her husband. Please be with Kenny and Justine as they're having to deal with a known and unexpected funeral. And we know that life includes both. As the scripture would say in the Psalms, we are protected from the arrows that fly by the day, those things we see coming, and we're also protected from those arrows that fly at night that we have no idea until they come that they're approaching. But your Holy Spirit protects us. Your name is a strong tower that we run to and we find safety. I pray that you'd be with others that are hurting, and we pray that this service that will be instituted in the beginning may just be a source of comfort. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort, and you've promised to be present with us, and we pray that you'd be present with the one that we're thinking of at this moment. We pray that you'll continue to work, and we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house today to sing your praises and to be comforted by your word, and we pray in that holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You look with me on the front. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God. According to your steadfast love,
according to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin.
making known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He has commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you look to the insert, which I've had to print separately, we'll use Psalm 139 as a call to worship responsively, and then we'll stand and sing hymn 370. The Pentecost hymn is to the tune of Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know my thoughts afar off.
You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways.
There is not a word on my tongue, but the Holy Lord, you know my life together.
You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me.
Such a knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it.
Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me.
Of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, the Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put a breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came to them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are indeed cut off. Then prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, I will do it, declares the Lord.
Thank you.
light to every race and nation by the promised gift of your Holy Spirit. Share abroad this gift throughout the world by preaching of the gospel, that it may reach to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And as we have been instructed, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and all are amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocked and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'"
Thank you.
We honor, we exalt the one the Holy Spirit came to bear witness to in the world, in your word, through your sacraments, and in our hearts. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and chapter 16, 4b through 15. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. Amen. You may be seated. This was a very difficult sermon for me to prepare. I am of the mindset that, and you would think I'm a big talker because I talk for a living, but I'm very selective in what I want to talk about. And I'm just of the opinion that if something is difficult to go through, I don't want to talk about it when it's done. So if I went through battle, like some of the people I respect the most, I'd be like those veterans that don't want to talk about it. It was painful to go through, I don't want to talk about it now. That's just my way. But I felt led to use an experience that was painful for me to go through, but I kept saying no to the Spirit prompting me to use it as sort of the matrix, the overlay to talk about Ezekiel 37. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But it wasn't fun to relive. You ever had like a near accident in an automobile? Or an accident, and now when you pass that place, you still sometimes get cold chills. So I had a lot of cold chills this week, so hopefully it'll be worth it to be an overlay for the sermon. The grace and peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be with us. Amen. There are a lot of sayings that people say that I think are crazy. You ever heard anybody say, as I look back over my life, there's nothing I would change? I think that's ridiculous. And another saying I think is crazy, and is, you should never say never. You ever heard that saying? You should never say never. I gotta tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm on a regular basis adding to my catalog of things I say never to. And let me confess one to you. I will never hold me to it. Handcuff me to my truck. I will never, ever, ever be a part of a total home or house renovation project ever again in my life. You might like it. But I disliked it from the beginning to the end. And that's what Ezekiel 37 talks about. Renovation. The word renovation comes from the Latin, which is re novare. Novare means to make new. Re means to make new again. It's sort of like redemption. It's sort of like what Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Renovation is that making new again. I've had good friends, and I know Warner's in the process now, trying to renovate an automobile. That also seems more painful than one should attempt. But it's to give life again to that which is dead. It's to bring health to that which is diseased. It's to bring wholeness, that Hebrew shalom or healing, to that which is disintegrated. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And in verse 5, he responds by saying, woe is me, I am. And the King James puts it the best, I am undone. I'm disintegrated. When Jesus says that the temple would be destroyed, he said it was not only going to be knocked down, but it would be knocked down to smithereens. There wouldn't even be any stones connected. Completely unbroken and disintegrated. You remember the children's nursery rhyme? Humpty Dumpty? Do you know what it was before it was a children's nursery rhyme? It was a riddle that old drunks would use in the British Isles sitting in bars as they would look at the state of the world, wars that they had fought, kings and other leaders that they struggled under. We can first find use of it in 1797. And so I want you to hear it as two old cynical people sitting without inhibitions, looking at the state of the world, would say, not children saying it, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, you know. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty back together again. Renovation, trying to put something back together again. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, nor do I want anything said aloud, but I know all of you have Humpty Dumpties in your life. Things that you wonder, is renovation even worth trying? Is renovation even possible? And when we read in Ezekiel, the children of Israel were exactly where many are. They had been diseased and divided for many years. They started off well. They had judges. They had Samuel. He was the last judge. But they wanted a king. God relented and they got a king, but they only had three of them before everything went to smithereens. They had Saul, you know, and they had David, you know, and they had Solomon, but then in 931, the kingdom divided. You have the northern kingdom, which goes by Israel most of the time, and the southern kingdom that goes by Judah most of the time. So in 931, they saw division. By 586, the temple was completely destroyed. And then over waves of being dispersed, they started moving out. So for somebody to come and say, I'm going to renovate you, their natural inclination would be, it's been tried and done. It's too far gone. It's too broken. The pieces are too ripped asunder. We'll never see wholeness again. We've been sick and tired for so long. We're just sick and tired of thinking about being sick and tired, so don't offer me a promise of renovation. Well, the good news of the gospel is it comes immediately and directly and pointedly at the point of the greatest darkness. Light on a sunny day is pretty immaterial, isn't it? If someone brought you a strong halogen light in the middle of the day at high noon on a very sunny day, it's like, I don't need that thing. But in the middle of the night, when it seems like everything is torn asunder, and the morning will never come, to be offered a message of light is the good news. So I'm going to relive a renovation project through Ezekiel 37. And you may be able to relate, either through a physical renovation or a project you were working on, or maybe a project that you never volunteered for. A club you may have been thrown into that you don't want to be a member of, but you're there. And I'm going to say that there's an offer of renovation, but there's some caveats. The first thing I'm going to say, renovation, and if you'll look with me, I'm going to follow 37, chapter 37, with broad strokes. The first aspect of renovation is that the need for it is caused by neglect. It's caused by neglect. There was no maintenance. There's no daily discipline. The original dies, and that's what we see here. Look with me in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. There's death. It's dead. And he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. So it's not only death, but it's widespread. The good days are all gone. They're dead. And then another adjective is added at the end of verse 2. And behold, they were very dry. They're not just dead, they've been dead a long time. The morning is over. The opportunity to think it might change has long since gone by. This has been written up as something is just beyond recognition or repair. It's neglect. And as a side note, that's why it's so essential that we stay with our daily disciplines of prayer and Bible reading and meditation and fellowship with the brothers, because unlike those 10 bridesmaids, when it's time to step up to the plate, you can't cram spiritual maturity. You can't cram for the tests of life that hit you in the middle of the night. Those phone calls that you wish never would come. You can't wait until you get it and then think, you know, I better beef up my spiritual side. So we need to not neglect it. The second thing, and anyone that's ever, any of you who have a garage or a library or an attic, the very next one is in the renovation. We see it in verse 3. It can be overwhelming, can't it? How many of you have ever lifted the garage and thought, today is a day we're going to sort this out? And you lift the garage and it's like, oh, you know what? I think the neighbor might need me to help you do something. So we just pull it down. And that's fine if it's a garage or an attic or a library. But when we do that to those issues in the soul, it can be overwhelming. Where do you even begin? Is there a way to get there from here? They asked the same thing, verse 3. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Interesting question. And he answered with complete honesty. I don't know. You're God. As a young pastor, and fortunately the Spirit led me, and stupidity of my own led me by mistakes to realize, don't give people answers when there are no answers. Is my daddy going to be healed? Is my son going to return? Is this situation going to get better? You used to feel like you had to have an answer for God. But sometimes you don't know. And when you don't know, it takes faith. It takes an ability to have hope. And hope is the ability, as we know from Hebrews 11:1, to see what's not there. I remember when I began this renovation project, had a dear friend that I got so angry with, Ronnie Driscoll. And Ronnie's an architect and a good one. And we walk around and he has vision. He has the ability to see what's there, not there. And he would describe and get all excited about, well, Tom, we did this, we can make that, we can do the other. And I learned very quickly that when it comes to building projects, I have absolutely no faith. I have no vision. I can't see it until it's there. Spiritually speaking, we need to, in the face of it being overwhelming, to seek to have hope. I don't see it, but I bet it can be there. Our Savior modeled that, didn't he? When he encountered a woman whose situation seemed far beyond the ability to be renovated. She had had five husbands. The one she was living with now was not her husband. And she was ashamed of the community. But what Jesus could see is a woman that could turn a whole city upside down for the gospel. And because he saw it, the impossible happened. So it's initially overwhelming. The third thing we see, it's a lengthy process. Renovation doesn't happen overnight. And I think that's what irritates me the most about it. They say Rome wasn't built in a day. And our society hates that because we like instant and immediate gratification. We don't want a doctor to tell me I've got to do 12 weeks of therapy. I came to you for a pill. I came to you for a cure. I came for you to take care of this. I don't want to care for it. I want you to cure it. We don't like a process. It was even affected the religious community 10, 20 years ago. Everybody was running around saying, well, I've got the spirit of the demon of obesity. I made a list of this one time. I've got the demon of tardiness. I have the demon of disorganization. And the reason they like saying it that way is if I had the demon of one of these things, somebody can exercise it and it'll be gone like the witch's nose. And I don't have to deal with it anymore. But life is not like that. We don't get an immediate response. We get a process of renovation. And we see here, it worked in two stages. The prophet had to prophesy two different times. We're reminded of that parable where Jesus healed the man born blind, but he had to do it twice. The first time he could only see trees. And I'm having to deal with that, renovating my eyes. I thought the first time would fix it. What do you mean I have a secondary cataract? What do you mean there's more to this process? In the spiritual life, it's truly a process. Jesus didn't come to fix it because he understands that there's something better than having our problems fixed. You know what's better than having your problem fixed? Learning to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. As you're walking through that which doesn't get fixed quickly. There's a song by an actor who also is a singer. And you know, he's still living, an older man, but he has a wonderful hymn. I want to quote one portion of it. Just a little talk with Jesus. And one portion goes this. You may have doubts and fears. Your eyes may be filled with tears. Now Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. Well, he wrote my name above, and he filled my soul with love. And just a little talk with Jesus is going to make it right. So let's have a little talk with Jesus, and we'll tell him all about our troubles. He'll bear or hear our famous cry, and he'll answer by and by. And feel a little prayer wheel turning. You know a little fire is burning. Let's have a little talk with Jesus. It's going to make it right. It's interesting, and I don't know the author's intention, but I'm going to tell you, biblically speaking, to interpret that, what gets made right is not the problem you want fixed. What gets made right is your soul. And that's why we pray like Jesus did. Jesus had a problem he wanted fixed, and he wanted to fix that night before he left the garden. But it didn't get fixed. It got made right. Because he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So the thing that's more important in the renovation process than getting it fixed is that we become closer to the Savior as we walk through the process. Fourth thing, closing up, the restoration process needs proper workers. And here we see in the Trinity, and I won't take your time, from Ezekiel 36, read it on your own this afternoon, which comes before this prophecy in 37 of the dry bones. And all three of the persons of the Trinity are included. God the Father is the architect. He's the one that plans it. We see in verse 1 of Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord. And the image of there, it's used about 16 times in the prophet. And it's almost like you can picture an older, wiser man putting his hand on the shoulder of someone who's getting ready to speak. He's guiding the prophet. God the Father is the one that architects this. This is why complaining is so deadly, because we're complaining against the one who's drawing the plans. We must confess what Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. So God the Father is the architect, the planner. God the Son is the actuality. He's the house. What's being built is the house. What's coming together is this body of Christ that all the people of God are in. We see that in verse 3. He said to me, Son of Man. And that is a term that is used 80 times by Jesus. It's his most favorite way to refer to himself. Son of Man. Christ is that house that's not made with human hands. Eternally settled in the heavens. So God is the architect, the planner. Christ is the actuality of the house. And the Holy Spirit is the agent. He's the builder. The word here that's used 10 times in 14 verses. It's used 4 times just in verse 9. And it's either going to be breath or wind. It's a Hebrew ruach. It means spirit. And like Waldo, the spirit shows up at some significant places, building things. The first time we see it in scripture is in Genesis 1, where the spirit is hovering over the chaos of the water. And out of that, creation comes. We see it in chapter 2 where the Spirit is breathed. That same God breathed into humans life. That's ruach. We see it in Luke 1 where the Spirit hovered on Mary's womb. And Jesus came out of that process. And we see it in John 3 where Christians do. I got two more. Hold with me. I'm trying to. The fifth thing, and the reason why I started by saying I'll never do it again with the house, is the process is not pretty. The process is not pretty. Look at verses, and don't read it like, you know, a Christian. Read it just normal. Verse 6. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and to cover you with skin, and I'll put breath in you, and you shall live, and you'll know that I'm God. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. I got to tell you, about this time, I am running out of that valley. This is grotesque. This is not something I want to see. This would have frightened me to death. This would not be very clean and neat and tidy. I was born about 30 years too late, in a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons, and my temperament is the type, I wish that I became father back in the good old days when they did it right, where the father went and got a cup of coffee in the cafeteria at the hospital and waited until all the new birthing was done, and then they came after everything was cleaned up and brought the dad in. You know, that's a whole lot better from my vantage point. I don't want to see this process. And I say, brothers and sisters, I'm tempted in a lot of ways to say, Lord, fix this, but I don't want to see it. I don't want to go through the process. As Luther would say, as he was asked to recant his faith, how can I expect a better path than my Savior? Jesus didn't get an opportunity to bypass the messiness of it. So why should I? He went through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't get to be exempted from it. Why should I? And that leads to where I want to close. Because the process is not pretty, and it seems overwhelming, and it has all these factors that make it seem impossible, the last thing I want to say, the process requires trust. Trust. We see in verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones. Look, there are three different points here, over and over. Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bone, and hear the word of the Lord. Four different ways the act of hearing is spoken here. Then he said to me, prophesy over me, say to them, and hear the words. The process requires trust or faith, and it's all about what voice we're listening to. For Paul tells us in Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The worst part of the renovation process is listening to everybody. I would suggest to you the worst part in the healing and renovation process of living of life is listening to everyone. There's one who God says, I speak through. And that's the Son that gave up his all for us. And the Spirit draws us to him. I'm going to close with one of my favorite songs. It sums it up. It sums up the abandon that we need to approach life. For as Paul says to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of strength or power, sound mind and self-control. We need to boldly lean into life, for we're children of God. And I know I can call John pretty much any time and he'll crank out a song. But I didn't think about doing this one until about 3:30 this morning. And he's never done it, so for once I'm a little smart. And it's by one of my favorite songwriters, Guy Clark. And it's called The Cape. And I wish I could do it the way he did. And like most good songs, it's linear. It tells a story, so you're going to hear an old young boy, a middle-aged, and an old person. But this is the way the renovation process happens, and this is if we trust the Spirit and lean into it, this is how we should live life. 8 years old with a flour sack cap tied all around his neck, he climbed up on the garage. He's figuring, what the heck? Well, he screwed up his courage so tight the whole thing came unwound. He got a running start, and bless his heart, he headed for the ground. Now he's all grown up with the flower sack cape tied all around his dream. And he's full of spit and vinegar, and he's busting at the seam. Well, he licked his finger, and he checked the wind. It's going to be do or die. And he wasn't scared of nothing, boys. He was pretty sure he could fly. Now he's old and gray with the flower sack cap tied all around his head. And he's still jumping off the garage, and will be till he's dead. And these years that people say, he's acting like a kid. He did not know he could not fly, so he did. And this is a refrain that I didn't repeat. Well, he's one of those that knows that life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath and always trust your cape. Yes, he's one of those that knows that life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms, hold your breath, and always trust your cape. And the good news is, our cape is the precious blood of Jesus Christ that covers us all. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith. And I want to remind us, if you've never noticed this, there's only two times that we say, I believe in the Apostles' Creed. We say it at the beginning when we talk about God creating. We say it at the third article when we talk about the Holy Spirit recreating. So let's confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of surprises, your Spirit brooded over the waters at creation and lived among your chosen people in wilderness, exile, and promised land. Your Spirit filled Mary's womb at the moment of Jesus' conception and came upon him like a dove at his baptism. When Christ died on the cross, your power raised him from the tomb on the third day. And that same evening, he breathed your forgiving grace on those who had deserted him. On the day of Pentecost, you sent your Spirit upon the fearful disciples, filling them with fire, with power, with wonder, and joy, and making them your church. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God of comfort and strength, we look to your Holy Spirit to be with us in sorrow and in contentment, in crisis and in abiding trials. Come among us now through the power of your Spirit, that we may be transformed and renewed into your image, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after the supper, he gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins for you and for many. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Greatest mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
God of dreams and prophecy, send down upon us your gifts of wisdom, knowledge, and faith, of healing, discernment, and interpretation, that your church may be built up in the likeness of your Son. Let anyone who is hungry find in you the bread of life, and anyone who is thirsty find in you rivers of living water. Speak your word to all who are alone and in fear or despair, and let each one of your children hear your voice in their own language, whether that language be art or science, work or play. Sanctify your groaning creation, that your universe may breathe your breath and be filled with your life anew, that we may love what you love and do what you would do. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, the early church clearly and quickly identified the two times the prophet spoke to dead bones, dry bones, the two times that they had to speak to bring renovation and healing were the two times that we are told, where we're told to find Scripture. They said it was through word and through sacrament. We have heard the word, and now we will receive the gift of God that brings his salvation. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive, to be strengthened at this table. May your faith be uplifted. May we cover it. And that's sacrificial blood of our Passover lamb. Let us keep the feast. thank you, our Father, for the gift of your Son, the sealing until the day of redemption by your Holy Spirit, and your promise to be with us through every valley, and to pursue us with goodness and mercy, knowing that we will dwell with you, the God who was, who is, and who will be forever. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing our final hymn.
Service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.